Do you know what I mean when I speak of a mountaintop experience? Those peak experiences that energize us, that bring us inspiration and joy. They're called mountaintop experiences because very often they happen in nature, at the pinnacle of that which is so much bigger than us, the rim of the Grand Canyon, or hiking or climbing to a peak in the Rockies, or whale watching in the ocean off the coast of Maine. We see grandeur in the world around us and are reminded of our place in the world. We're reinvigorated, and if we're lucky, we absorb some of that energy. We can have mountaintop experiences here in civilization, too. Sometimes new parents talk about birth as a mountaintop experience. Sometimes a graduation can be a mountaintop. Most of you know that I'm a newlywed, and so as I prayed this text this week, the mountaintop experience that kept coming to mind for me was Scott's and my wedding this fall. Now, in an attempt not to engage in gender stereotyping, I'll simply say that one of us was a little more into wedding planning than the other. Nonetheless, I can say very easily that the wedding itself was a mountaintop for both of us. One of my favorite reflections from Scott is from that day is that he says that he wishes that he'd had a video camera set up behind him so that he could have captured and preserved his experience as the doors opened and I walked in. I had planned the ceremony for a late afternoon in the fall so that the light would be just so. And my planning must have been spot on, because Scott says that in that moment, as everyone rose, it looked like a Francis Ford Coppola film. So after I got over my husband comparing our wedding to The Godfather, I came to understand that this was his language for a mountaintop experience. The awe, the joy, the beauty, and the instinct to preserve it. Just like Peter in the Transfiguration, which we just read from Luke. No matter the context, it's human nature to want to preserve the mountaintop. In our smartphone culture, we've taken that instinct to preserve our experiences to an absolutely absurd level. And yet, the disciples' experience of Jesus being transfigured into a dazzling white before them is instructive about how we, too, ought to engage these peak experiences. Jesus tells them not to build the dwelling places, not to build huts. Peter's intent may have been to build huts in order to allow the mountaintop experience to continue, or maybe to memorialize what they had just experienced. In either case, Jesus doesn't like the idea. Instead, we hear the voice of God from a cloud say, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." This echoes God's voice from Jesus' baptism. Listen to him. Just listen. You don't have to do anything. There's something both passive and present, as well as active and future-oriented in this. So often, when we have mountaintops, we're trying to figure out what to do, how to preserve it, taking that selfie, and so we don't experience the mountaintop. And what the voice of God says is just listen. Just be here. Take it in. But also in the listen to him is once we return to our everyday lives, there is something active and future-oriented, telling us to continue to listen to Jesus, to not hearken for the days gone by, that time that we had that wonderful mountaintop experience, but rather to listen to Jesus when we have our feet planted firmly back on the ground. What the voice of God says is acknowledge what is sacred here and listen to it as you go forth. In nature, that's often the perspective, that God and nature are so big and grand and complex, and we are really just a small, small piece of this. In that case, listening to our natural mountaintops may mean remembering our place and behaving with humility. If your mountaintop experience is the birth of a child, perhaps listening to Jesus is that experience and that awe that one feels at creation, or perhaps the hope of new life, or the connectedness to those you're closest with. I recently read an article that talked of the transfiguration as Jesus engaging in transparency with Peter, James, and John, showing them his truest, deepest nature. And this reminded me of a hit show that I've been wanting to watch on Amazon called Transparency. It's about a family in which a father becomes transparent in his transition from being Mort to being Mora. We haven't had a chance to watch it at our house yet. Our DVR is horribly backlogged. But from what I read, this is a show that wrestles with self-realization, with self-actualization, and with self-absorption, and the inevitable complex mass of the three. Where I see the connection between the show Transparent and the Gospel of the Transfiguration is here. Truth cannot be buried, nor is light to be hidden under a bushel. Who we are, how we love, who we love, our bodies. None of these things are static. We are always changing, discovering new light and new love within ourselves. At the Transfiguration, Jesus lets us in on that fact, perhaps for the first time. He lets us in on the fact that there is more in him than we have known, perhaps than even he has known. And yet he remains compassionate about our human mess. He doesn't abandon us for true happy days, staying up on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, those two who actually understand his true nature. He returns to our lives, leading us to discover who we can become when we try to be faithful, rather than wanting to preserve the mountaintop. Our takeaways then for today are that mountaintop experiences will not last, cannot last, and the attempt to preserve them is futile. Instead, God says to listen to Jesus after the mountaintop. Figure out what is sacred in the mountaintop experience and continue to listen to that when we've come down from the mountain. Secondly, we're to allow ourselves the transparency of transfiguration. Acknowledge that each and every one of us has new light and new love within. Friends, being faithful isn't about preserving some experience that we've had or some notion of ourselves. It's about becoming the people that God created us to be and listening to Jesus, not just in the glory, but in the here and the now as we go forth. May it be so. Amen.